You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Okay, let's dream about how we'd like our family to look like on screen. I'd love someone to call actually and say, yes, I saw this film. I thought, that's my family. Maybe the castle? I'm not sure. 1300-222-774. The reason we're talking family and film, Josh Nelson is with me. Josh, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Josh is going to have a look at Lovelace, which we'll get to in a moment, but also Stories We Tell, which has something to do with family. Josh, fill me in.
Stories We Tell is from actor turned director Sarah Polley. She's done two or three films now. This is her third. Her previous film was a film called Take This Waltz. I wasn't a fan of that, but seeing this, it's interesting how I think that film was really informed by her family situation. And this is a documentary. Well, it's a pseudo-documentary.
Oh, right.
About her family. Part of it is an investigation into her mum, who died when she was quite young, and also questions about who her father may or may not be. I should caution people, if they haven't seen the trailer for this, maybe don't watch the whole thing. Although, having said that, I saw the trailer before I saw the film, so it's, you know, I don't think
I've got the trailer audio here. Should we not play it because it's a spoiler?
No, I think we can play it.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not a twist film.
Just before I do, I'm sort of, it's kind of a Wes Anderson-ish kind of offbeat sort of feel, or what's the vibe?
I think the film is probably about family secrets and lies. It's also a film about storytelling, and it opens with a quote from Margaret Atwood from Alias Grace about this idea that, you know, at what point do you step out from the life and become the storyteller, and how can you tell a story when you're in the inside of it, which I thought was quite interesting. And the film explores this idea by gathering her quite extended family and through these interviews, and then we get sort of the second tier of the family friends, and we get this sort of almost spiderweb concept of her family. And then questions raised about who has the right to tell family. Should all the stories within this circle be given an equivalency?
Kind of like The Observer Effect.
It's a really intelligent and incredibly moving film. She's got such a wonderful family, and it's that space where you sort of don't want to leave them. You want to stay in this sort of sphere of this sort of warm space of her family.
Look, I want to get a bit more information about the film, but let's have a little listen to the trailer for Stories We Tell.
When you're in the middle of a story, it isn't a story at all, but only a confusion. It's only afterwards that it becomes anything like a story when you're telling it to yourself or to someone else.
Dad, can you just go back over that one line?
I was being so real.
Well, I guess if you could start by describing Mum in as much detail as possible.
She was the most fun I could think of as a child.
I told her I would never discuss it with anyone, and I never did.
I think she maybe realized what her life could be. I think she made a choice to live.
Okay, that's Stories We Tell. Josh, I haven't quite grasped what this film is like.
Okay, look, it opens with her pulling back the curtain on the documentary process. So we see the camera pulled back in wide shots, her sort of sitting down with the family members, their sense of discomfort of what are we going to talk about, how long do I have to be here, I'm a little bit unsure of what this is going to be about and what it's going to bring up. And then once she's established the various key members of the family, then we go into this question about who was my mother. And that leads to questions about who her father may or may not have been in terms of issues of paternity. But it's, again, we heard the father there, and there's scenes where we see her recording this voiceover, which is this letter that he's written to Sarah, this incredibly eloquent, beautiful letter. And we see them inside the studio, and we see her ask him to repeat certain lines. Okay. So you get this sense of it's at one point it's his story, but she's the director, and we see her constructing and reconstructing the story. And there's all this wonderful Super 8 footage of her growing up. And at a certain point, you realize...
So it's fictional or real? It is fictional.
No, it's real.
It's real.
It's real, you know, with quotation marks.
Okay.
You know, it's...
Deliberately ambiguous?
Well, I think it's exploring the idea of reality and documentary. Mm. So it's exploring the very form that she's creating, but she's also a search for where have I come from, I guess, how has my relationship with my mother and my father sort of led me to these various points.
Yes.
And to the point where you start to realize that some of the Super 8 footage you've been watching seems far too abundant to have been just a kind of the regular family homes.
Right.
And we start to realize they're actually reenactment. So it starts to blur the lines between her reconstructing her own version of events in line with what some of the people within her family are saying.
Sounds interesting.
It's a beautifully made film. It's an intelligent film. And yeah, look, I think maybe she's found her niche within this sort of documentary sphere, away from, maybe it's that close of, you know, the line that she struggled with the fictional narrative in her previous film. It seems clearer here. And yeah, this is a really, really clever film. And I think we can also look at it in the context of recent documentary films like Exit Through the Gift Shop or the Joaquin Phoenix, okay. I'm Still Here, that, you know, this idea of there is no truth and this sort of rejection, almost the sort of apathetic or nihilistic rejection of truth, which you know, they're quite cynical in some ways, even though I like both those documentaries. I think Sarah Polley is saying, you know what, there may not be a truth, but there is still something honest and authentic about the documentary process. So I think her film is a nice counterpoint to some of those other recent documentary films.
Okay, look, that sounds good. The Stories We Tell, where's it on, Josh?
It's a limited release. I think it's on about 3 or 4 locations, you know, Como, some of the Palace cinemas.
Nova, yeah, maybe. Okay. Josh Nelson's with me. Filmology.com. You can check out Josh's film blog. That's Filmology spelt with a PH. Love to hear from you. 1300 222 774. We've been talking about Stories We Tell. I'd love to hear your family films. David Lynch's The Straight Story. I haven't seen that. Awesomeness. That's from Ben in Berwick.
That's the tractor. That's when the guy decides to crisscross America on his tractor to find his brother.
Okay, yes.
Harry Dean Stanton plays his brother.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
exactly.
A superbly poignant film about a stranded family who come together in the face of persecution. Coneheads. That's not my memory of it, but still. Hi, Raph. Torch Song Trilogy. Struggle of gay man with gay adopted son and Jewish mother, all trying to understand each other's lifestyle. Many of my friends, including me, lived this. That's from Andrew. 1300 222 774. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Brilliant family movie. Paul Newman and Liz Taylor in their most stunning prime. Tennessee Williams at his finest. And another text here. I like this. No one's mentioned the ultimate family film, but I'll get to that in a moment. The Accidental Tourist with William Hurt, a great example of a dysfunctional family. And Life as a House with Kevin Kline, which I never saw, which I know people in my life love. And The Addams Family, the original with John Astin. That's from John. Is there an original old-fashioned version of the Addams Family as
maybe,
a film?
Maybe it was a telemovie at the time. They did that quite a bit back, you know, back in the day.
In the day. Look, 1300 222 774. I'd love to hear from you. Your ultimate family film. We had to bid farewell to a family this week. This is, you'll forgive a bit of a gratuitous mention, but it brought a tear to Josh's eye when one of the best TV shows in recent times wrapped up this week. That's kind of, that's a portrayal of a family, isn't it? It's not a particularly palatable, but it's a highly enjoyable portrayal of a family. Okay, we cheated because it's TV. But 1300 222 774, if you've got a family film. No one's mentioned The Godfather. What happened to The Godfather Trilogy? That's the ultimate family film.
Never tell anybody outside the family what you're thinking again.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Any man who's responsible for other people.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
That's my family, kid.
It's moving me just listening to the music. That's just me. 1300 222 774. Someone, I forgive my laughter. Someone has actually texted in. We're talking about family films, okay? Someone has actually texted in Bad Boy Bubby. I think, you know what? I think that person texts in Bad Boy Bubby every single time.
I was about to just add that.
Yep. Because it's kind of stuck out
there. Yeah, Mum, it's time to stop texting that in.
Stop it, stop it. Look, I'd love to hear from you about your doesn't have to be a perfect family portrayal. It could be just your favourite family portrayal. But look, let's talk about Lovelace.
This is a different kind of family.
Yeah.
Although this, again, centres around the family. Look, Lovelace is a biopic, which is a sort of a loosely defined genre, I think, about Linda Lovelace / Linda Borman / Linda Marciano, the woman who became infamous for the pornographic film Deep Throat, which was released in 1971. This is an interesting film from a number of reasons. Not all of them are great. Just on a purely dramatic level, the cast is really impressive. Amanda Seyfried plays Linda Lovelace in this film, an actress who's sort of been skirting around the edges of either rom-coms or things like Red Riding. I don't think she's really ever sort of shown her...
She was in Les Miserables as well.
She was. Yeah. I think she was Cosette in that. She's really impressive here. I think we see a different side of her. I think this is almost a breakout film. So from that point of view, I think she holds the film together quite strongly. Her parents, I mean, the cast is quite good sort of universally. Sharon Stone and Robert Patrick play her parents.
All right.
We get a glimpse of Linda Lovelace's life. But what this film does, and I think probably the one reason to recommend this above some of the sort of stock standard biopics that just sort of tick the box of life events, is the first half is the sort of the glitz of the porn life. We get music that we've heard, you know, the 70s kind of pop music, that, you know, define things like Boogie Nights. And then halfway through, the film retraces the steps from the popularity of the release of Deep Throat, and we see the sort of the dark underside. And a lot of this comes from Linda Lace's biography, Ordeal, where, you know, in later life, she sort of became a born-again Christian. She became an outspoken advocate against pornography alongside people like Gloria Steinem. So it plays with the, again, in a similar way to stories we tell, it plays with the form of the biopic to suggest, you know, actually there's always an underside to this. And in a sense, I think that was impressive, but I think there's a lot of scope here, and this is also an issue with biopics more generally, that they could have dealt with more than what they do. I think they reduced...
They didn't bite off enough.
Yeah, it doesn't really want to engage with the porn industry. It doesn't really want to engage with the cultural significance of Deep Throat. I mean, this is where mainstream porn really sort of broke in the early 70s. I mean, and it was a landmark case in terms of obscenity trials in the States. You know, or even just in terms of cosmetic surgery, Linda Lovelace had injections, and had a double mastectomy later in life. It doesn't really deal with her life post-Deep Throat. One of the things that I think this film is happy to sort of rest on its laurels and address is this issue of who was Linda Lovelace? You know, was she Linda Lovelace? Was she Linda Borman? And I think the answer that the film ultimately gives in the final scene of this film is really unsatisfying, given what I guess we know of her broader life. And I think there's a lot of scope there for a deeper investigation, pardon the pun, of this character and of the kind of cultural context.
So they wimped it a little bit?
Yeah, I really think they did. Mm. And the curious aspect about this is the two directors, Jeffrey Friedman, the other guy's name sort of escapes me, Rob Epstein, come from a documentary background, which is interesting because I think this issue and this character, this you know, real life subject, has been explored in much greater depth in a film called Inside Deep Throat, a documentary. It came out about 6 or 7 years ago. So, given that they come from this background, it's strange that they would sort of wimp out with it. So, I'm not sure.
In the studio, Josh.
Well, the studio actually had a character cut. We had Gloria Steinem, who was going to be played by Sarah Jessica Parker, and her appearance in the film is completely cut. So it's almost as if they didn't want to deal with that sort of second wave feminism.
So they filmed it with Sarah Jessica Parker and then cut it out?
They originally cast Demi Moore, and then she dropped out.
Right.
They filmed it with Sarah Jessica Parker, and she got cut from the film.
Oh, interesting.
And given it's the film only goes for 90 minutes or even under that, it's not a case of there wasn't the running time to address this. I mean, it doesn't feel like this film drags. It really zips along. Good in one way, interesting aspects, dramatically entertaining, but this is such a topic that's ripe for a deeper cultural investigation, I think.
Okay, Lovelace is the name of the film.
It is.
Wider release, that one, I imagine.
Probably quite similar now to Stories We Tell.
Okay, Josh Nielsen is with me. I'll read a few of your texts. The Royal Tenenbaums, that's from Leanne in South Yarra. And also, The Sound of Music. How could we not include The Sound of Music?
I have a nomination for my favourite family. It's the Roddy Doyle trilogy, The Snapper, The Van, and The Commitments. Cole Meaney as the father.
Oh, are they all the same family?
It is the same family. Barrytown trilogy, I think it's called.
Did The Commitments come first and then he did the others?
That's true, yep.
Right, okay. Haven't seen any other than The Commitments. He still tours, I think,
Yeah, he was here about a month ago.
He was, wasn't he?
Great.
Josh Nielsen, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh Nielsen's film blog is at filmology.com. The films we were talking about, The Stories We Tell, is the documentary or pseudo-documentary about a family, and Lovelace, the story of Linda Lovelace, star of the porn flick from the 1970s.